Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, Shabbat. Shabbat Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai.
I have a really exciting program lined up for you today. I had the opportunity to speak with Rabbi Andy Meyerson a few days ago. Folks, his story is so miraculous. You are going to want to hear this. Tell all your friends to turn the radio on and listen to this amazing interview. So we'll have some music first, and then we'll have the interview with Rabbi Andy Meyerson. You're just going to love it. I'm telling you. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shemai Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Come fellowship with us on Saturdays at 10 o'clock a.m. We're at 1326 North Winton Road in Irondequoit. And while you're at Shemai Yisrael, please check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. It's open after services every Saturday around noon, and it's also open on Tuesdays from 1 to 7 and Thursdays from 1 to 6. The Fig Tree Bookstore is a great place to go for CDs, tapes, prayer shawls, music, shofars, books about sharing Messiah, and jewelry. That's the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. And if you're in the Lockport, Medina, or Buffalo area, please visit Congregation Brith Hadashah. They're at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst. Their services are every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Today we're celebrating the day of Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. And we know as believers that we're covered under the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. Here's a beautiful song sung by Paul Wilbur, In Your Presence.
In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord my God, in your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your
presence. This is Paul Wilbur with Integrity Music, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'm so thankful for my new sponsor. Let's listen now to Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester. Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They have been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013. With state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment, they work to determine if they're what you need to get your life back. If you would like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic Care of Rochester, located at 1280 North Winton Road. Visit their website today at www.uccroc.com. This is an introspective time. We are thinking about being in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we want to get things right, and we are saying, Lord God, we repent. We know that we've sinned against you, and we've sinned against each other, and we ask for forgiveness from you, Lord, and we ask forgiveness from each other. Here's a great song from Bruce Cohen. Fall upon us now.
Us with your love, now pour out on us your rain from above. Fall upon us now, oh God, fall upon us now. We're back in the land, the time is at hand to pour out your spirit in power. Fall upon us now, oh God, fall upon us now. We're back in the land, the time is at hand.
And it will come about after this, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on your male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for an amazing interview with Rabbi Andy Meyerson. Right now, let's hear all about Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840.
Put off thy slough.
That was Elena Watson with Awake, O Israel. Next, let's listen about Europa Cafe. Yummy. If you're hungry and in the mood for something different, I highly recommend the Europa Cafe in Delhi. It's at 1694 Penfield Road. They're open Mondays, Tuesdays, Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesdays and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Europa Deli is a gourmet food store that specializes in European foods from countries such as Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, Bulgaria, Germany, Poland, ex-Yugoslavia, and more. They have an extensive variety of imported foods, smoked meats, seafood, cheese, pastries, and more. Their cafe and bakery has the most delicious baked items. You just have to try it. Europa Cafe and Deli, 1694 Penfield Road. Call them at 585-385-2040. Come in and tell them that you heard about it on Bagels and Blessings. Shalom! During the season of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, many people talk about teshuvah, and that means to return, to come back to the Lord. Here's a beautiful song from King of Kings Assembly, Hashivenu, which means we will return. Again, that was the King of Kings Assembly with Hashivenu. This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for an exciting interview with Rabbi Andy Meyerson.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? Did you know God created our immune systems to fight diseases? For some, the immune system doesn't function well and cancer may develop. A company in Israel, CureTech, is developing antibodies designed to control the body's immune response, enabling it to fight cancer more effectively. Every day, 17,000 people lose the battle against cancer. With this new drug from Israel, cancer patients will no longer fight this disease alone. This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, over 40% of Israelis live in poverty. We have an opportunity to return the blessing God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to ROIMinute.com. That's ROIMinute.com.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shammah Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shammah Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shammah Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Shalom, friends. I'm so glad you're listening to Bagels and Blessings today. As you know, today's program is pre-recorded. You won't have a chance to win any bagels today, but stay tuned because right now you will get to hear an amazing interview with Rabbi Andy Meyerson. Enjoy. Rabbi Andy Meyerson, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Well, thank you, and I like bagels. I like blessings.
Such a deal. It's a win-win, I'm telling you. I'm very excited to have you on the program, and I met a mutual friend of ours, Karen, and she directed me to you, and I have questions. Are you ready for questions?
I'm always ready for questions. I might not be ready for the answers, but, you know, like every rabbi asks one question, I might have two or three different answers.
Oy vey.
We'll find out.
We will. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, Rabbi Andy, can you tell us a little bit about how you were raised? For example, did you grow up in a typical Jewish household?
So I was born at a very early age. You know, I was very young when I was born.
Uh-huh.
That's a joke. Put in the laugh track there.
Uh-huh.
I was born in Manhattan in a Jewish family. And who would ever thunk it, a Jew from Manhattan? But I was raised Jewish. My parents weren't that observant. We would do Shabbat at home. My mother would bench lift, and, you know, light the candles and the make challah and so forth. They made sure that I went to Hebrew school and had did Jewish studies and this kind of a thing. But they weren't often with me. My father would get tickets for High Holy Days, and we would go then. But mostly they just made sure that I did what they said, you know. That, you know, they would even drop me off at services. And I enjoyed that better than them coming, frankly, because I got to play with my friends, you know, and I got to have a good time. That was it. As far as my early upbringing was, and we moved to Ohio, in the Cleveland and Akron areas. So that's my early childhood, and then, you know, it was in the mid-70s. During the Jesus movement.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you all must remember that.
Oh, absolutely.
Good. So, I mean, you almost couldn't walk down the street in the city without somebody handing you a tract or wanting to tell you about the good news, this kind of a thing. So I was in my mid-20s, and someone asked me to come to a home Bible study. And I thought, why not? Maybe there's some cute girls.
Such a man.
So God, he meets us where we are, right?
Amen.
So I went, and the next thing you know, I'm accepting Jesus as my personal Savior and getting dunked in the bathtub.
Oh, my. Did you have any idea what that all meant? Like, did you feel like you'd suddenly stopped being Jewish, or did anybody explain anything to you?
Well, it was, like a house full of Christians. But when I was there, it wasn't really anything that anybody said. It was just, all the training that I'd had as a younger man, because we read the Bible, we read the Tanakh, we read the Parsha, in the cycle every year, so, and we read the rest of the books on a schedule, and, it all fell into place for me, it was just, it's like, yeah, that's right.
So it all made sense.
Yeah, it all made sense. All the pieces of the puzzle just sort of went together by themselves, and I thought, that's right, he is the Messiah. Yeah, now I get it.
So, Rabbi Andy, did you share the wonderful news with your Jewish family?
Not for a while. They knew I was a little bit crazy anyway, but...
No.
So, I wasn't exactly sure what to do. And, I was... one of the things that kept me from receiving the Lord was the fact that everyone that I knew that received the Lord, all of a sudden they started talking funny. Their vocabulary changed, And I thought, well, I don't think my vocabulary has to change. I don't think I have to, quit being who I am. And I struggled with that for many years because it just never made sense to me that now all of a sudden I wasn't Jewish anymore because I had read the Bible and I knew that Yeshua, the Jesus himself, was Jewish, and I never saw anywhere in there where he had changed. Now he was Catholic or Baptist. Well, I know his mother was Catholic, but we'll leave that out of the picture for a second. Another joke. Put the laugh track in there.
Well, that's what we all thought, right?
Exactly. Because when I was growing up, you're either in my neighborhood, or you're either Jewish or Catholic. That we had heard of other things, but I had no direct experience with that to speak of. So. And all the Talmudim, all the disciples, were Jewish. And I didn't see anywhere where that had changed.
Amen.
So I would go to church on Sunday, and I'd go to synagogue on Saturday. And I did that for many years. And one of the only things that both the people in the churches and the people in the synagogue both agreed on was that I was no longer a Jew. The synagogue people would say, you're not Jewish anymore. You don't really have to come here. You're a Christian now. So, and some of the Christians in the churches would say, you're not Jewish anymore. You don't have to do any of that stuff anymore. Just never made sense. It didn't add up.
Sounds to me like you needed to meet other Jewish people that believed in Jesus. Did that ever happen?
It did. And it wasn't until late in the 90s when So this is like 20 years later. My wife and I were going to a nice church on Saturday, and then on Sunday, and we were looking for a synagogue to go to on Saturday, and I saw a sign for a synagogue, and so I decided, well, how bad could it be? So I went in, and on Shabbat in the morning, and I was astonished. I was astonished. It was a Messianic synagogue.
You just happened to stumble upon a Messianic synagogue.
I mean, God just brought me right there.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I didn't know there was such a thing. And nobody had ever told me there was such a thing.
Oh my gosh. It's like discovering gold.
It was wonderful. I went in, and here were Jews and Gentiles worshiping from a Jewish standpoint, from a Jewish perspective. And I'm telling you, I just fell on my face and wept. And it was literally 6 months of going to services there before I could get to a service without weeping. Not that there's anything wrong with weeping, but I was just so astonished.
Yeah, and the Holy Spirit really touched you deeply, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So then I got the call.
You heard the voice? Hello.
I heard the voice, the call to be a rabbi, to study to be a rabbi.
Wow.
So yeah, I was in an airplane, and I was closer to heaven than I normally am. So then I went to my father. He had known that I was going to church and going to synagogue, and he was happy that I was involved in religion, as he would say. But so I went to him to ask him for his blessing. And I said, Dad, I came to you today to ask you for your blessing. I found this thing, Messianic Judaism, and I want to study to be a rabbi, but I need your blessing. And so he says, is this Jews for Jesus?
Oh, they always say that.
I said, no, we're Jews and we're for Jesus, but that's like a separate organization. He says, is this thing with Yeshua and all that? I said, yes, that's exactly what it is. So he had known about it, but he never told me about it. And we were raised, we could do anything we wanted, as long as we gave it our all, as long as we tried our hardest. He didn't care if we were sweeping up after elephants in the circus, if we would be the best elephant sweepers that we could be. We would really give it our all. So he said, look, to be a great rabbi, first, you have to be a great congregant.
Wow, that's pretty wise.
Yeah, that was. He was a wise man. He still is. So he says, you figure out how to be a great congregant, and then you can study to be a rabbi with my blessing.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
That is amazing. It is amazing. So, I encourage people to ask their parents if they're still alive for their blessing. I'd be surprised at their reaction.
Wow.
And parents are, they love to give their children blessings, even if they're not believers, whatever, it's, at least it gives them a chance to pray, right?
Amen.
That's always a good thing. So, that's what my wife and I did. I mean, we did everything for the next 2 or 3 years. If painting. We would go and watch the wall, the paint on the walls dry. I mean, we would do anything. You know, I was so happy. I went back and asked my rabbi. I said, "Well, I've got my father's blessing to start studies, and so what's my first job?" And he said, the assistant rabbi told me, "Well, here's what you do: go into the child center, the children's room, the nursery, and get that diaper pail, and empty the diaper pail and wash it off."
Ooh.
And I'm thinking, well, this wasn't exactly what I had in mind. I thought you were gonna, tell me to, roll the Torah to the right place and but I discovered that that was my job, and that may be the holiest job in the synagogue, really, to clean up after the children, the job that nobody wants to do.
And you did it, and you did it joyfully.
Amen. And that was really my first lesson as an understudy there. So,
wow.
So I took the yeshivas and did all the things I needed to do. Studied this for 7 years and ran a synagogue for my rabbi. And then God called us to North Carolina and to start Messianic synagogues.
Well, tell us about that. Shalom, y'all.
Well, so my wife and I had to live wherever I had to live for work. So when I finished work, when I finished secular work, I said, let's move where God wants us to move. And so for a couple of years, she got mass and prayed and just sought God. Where to go? So we came up to North Carolina. And we again sought God. We were convinced that we were supposed to start in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and so we had our stuff in the car, and we went to the airport, stayed at a hotel by the airport, and we're going to go back down to Florida and get our stuff back in the U-Haul and bring it back up. So in the middle of the night, a thief breaks in the car and takes everything.
Oh, no!
Yeah, well, it's God's plan. They must have needed this more than I did. Because, believe me, there wasn't much of a value in this.
Mm.
So we can't leave a parking lot, leave the car at the parking lot at the airport with a broken window in it. So we take it and get it, the window fixed, and while it was being repaired, we saw a restaurant across the street called Hot Dog World. And it was all beef hot dogs, and the line was wrapped around the building. There was evidently a very popular place. So we went to go get a hot dog, and while I'm waiting in line for the hot dogs, I see a little magazine, a little newspaper. And it's called the Journey Christian Newspaper. So I picked it up and I'm reading it. And in the back, there's a little tiny ad that says, Church Planters Meeting, and has a phone number. So I called it, explained who I was. Said, hey, could I come to this meeting? I said, sure. So it turned out to be somehow the director of missions cell phone number, and he was wondering, I got this number, but anyway, I did. So I went up there and I met with them. They were very warm and welcoming. And of course, we were looking for a place to plant. So he offered up the building that they use for the Southern Baptist Convention. And we set to have a service on Shavuot. So we knew no one up here. We knew no one up here. And it was about 2.5 months from Shavuot. So we made up a nice poster and we went around to churches and anybody who would listen to me and wouldn't throw something at me, I would give them a brochure. And we talked to a lot of people. And so the day came and I'm setting up chairs. And the director of missions comes up and says, "How many chairs are you setting up?" I says, "Well, we're going to have 120 people here, I think." So we set up a few extra, over 120. And the first service, we had 120 people. And we had 6 salvations, and 3 of them were Jewish.
Wow. All this because you wandered into a hot dog stand, which you wouldn't have come there if your car hadn't been broken into.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Good fun. So I knew that we were to set up multiple congregations. So the first one was in Asheville, and then the next one was in Spartanburg, and the next one was in Morganton, and the next one was in Charleston, and we're opening up new synagogues all the time. And we're doing them in Spanish as well.
Amazing!
And God willing, we'll soon be opening up Russian-speaking services. And then after Russian, our feeble plan is for Chinese.
My goodness. Now, Rabbi Andy, I understand that one of the buildings had a little surprise, an old mikveh tank. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. So, it might take me a few minutes. I can't remember. Is this a half an hour or an hour or so?
The interview is only about a half hour, so we got a few minutes left. See what we can do.
I just got a few minutes. Okay, great. So, again, I'm in a meeting. And there's a little note on the back of the announcements. If anyone needs a place to worship, come and see such and so. So I went to see such and so. And he says, "Come with me after lunch." So he takes me after lunch and takes me to this complex of buildings. 3 buildings hooked together. You can get from one to another without getting wet. And it turns out to be 18,000 square feet with on 4 acres. It's all fenced in, very nice. And, there's everything in there. There's chairs, there's even crayons in the kids' rooms. So we get to the end of the tour. I said, "This is very nice, very nice." And he takes his key off his key ring, and he says, "This is my key to this facility. I don't need it anymore. It's now yours. Hand me the key."
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that was goodness, right? So, what do you say? You say, "Thank you very much." And praise God. You know, I'm sure every day people get handed $1.5 million worth of property. But to me, it hasn't happened. That was the first time. So, my wife and I, we would take different way to go every time to come to the synagogue so we could learn the ropes. So the name of our congregation is Beth Shiloh. So we saw a road, Shiloh Road. So we had to go down Shiloh Road. We went down Shiloh Road. What do we find at the end? But this campus, it was it used to be a boys' home, like an orphanage. And so we pulled up on the property. Now, understand, Shiloh Road ended right at this place. Again, it's like I'm left behind. The grass is cut. But you can tell there's nobody there, but there's children's toys. It was just weird. It was like I'm left behind. What am I doing here? One thing leads to another. We get with the owners, and the owner says, we bought this property. We're not sure what to do with it. We're waiting for God to tell us what to do with it. So they give me a tour. They show me the administration building. Very nice. They show me the dormitory and the cafeteria. Very nice. But what's it got to do with me? I don't know. And then they show me the basketball court, the gymnasium. Very nice. But, again, what's it got to do with me? So they said, well, and I see a little round, funny little round building down on the end. I said, what's this? And he said, I don't know. It's like a tool shed. It was like the craftsman's place, you know, the workman's place. So we go in, and sure enough, there's junk piled all over the place. I mean, it was, you know, a custodian place or whatever. So we go in, and in the middle, there's a big pile of wood and junk. And you can see a little crack in there, and you can see there's water wandering there. So I said, would you mind if we move this? So we did. And then my jaw, it hits the ground. I said, do you know what this is? No, what is it? It's a mixer. What's a mixer? I said, this is a mixer.
Funny you should ask.
And here it was, in the middle of nowhere. So it turns out that, you know, in the 1800s, but before that, the Native Americans used to come and get in this water. It was known for its healing properties. And they built a big luxury hotel. And I think that the guy married a Jewish woman, and that's the reason that they built the mixer there. But the bottom line is this. What it was used for, and nobody knew about it. Nobody knew about it all these years later. It's been used for several different purposes, blah, blah, blah. But when I went down there, as I saw it, it inspired me. Because we have the tools, Jews and Gentiles have the tools of prayer and of fasting. But this tool that God gave us of the mixing has been stolen from Gentile believers. You know, when Yeshua was walking around, you could go to the temple as a Gentile. You had to go through a mikvah first. About 40 times in the Bet Hadashah in the Testament, the mikvah is mentioned. About 60 times in the Hebrew scriptures. And imagine being able to go and immerse in the mikvah, being a Jewish believer, or Gentile believer for that matter. This is a world-changing event. So we're, God willing, I know we're out of time, but so God willing, we're going to restore that. And we're going to build a couple of modern mikvahs, according to modern standards. And we'll have the most beautiful mikvah in the world, God willing, where women can come and they can, God willing, see themselves through God's eyes to understand that they are the princess of the Most High God, that they're God's favorite daughter, that they're a place where they can really understand their value and the love that God has for them, catch a glimpse of themselves through heaven's eyes. And so, I mean, I could blather on about everything for a long time, but this is just, I'm telling you, it's the start of something wonderful.
Praise God. I anticipate having you on the air again and again to give us an update. And I just marvel at how God just led you guys down Shiloh Road, just like he led you to the hot dog stand. I mean, God is obviously leading you and you're following because you're listening to him. And that's a good inspiration for all of us.
Amen. Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today. And anytime you feel like it, give me a call. We'll chat.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited about what God is doing, and I want to thank you so much for being my guest on Bagels and Blessings, and I look forward to chatting with you soon.
Shalom, shalom.
Thank you.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. That was my interview with Rabbi Andy Meyerson, and you heard him talking about the discovery of a mikvah tank. And you're probably wondering, what is that? Well, a mikvah is a ritual bath or bathing place for purification in accordance with Jewish law. And when women are completing their time of the month, they're supposed to go to the mikvah for ritual cleansing. And also, people that convert to Judaism are often told that they must go through the mikvah to be cleansed. And you can look it up if you want to know more about it. It's M like mother, I, K, V like Victor, A, H. But really an exciting time talking with Rabbi Andy, and I do think we'll have him on the air again sometime. Well, we have time for one more quick song, so enjoy, and thanks for listening to Bagels and Blessings today. Here's Jill Chernoff with Holy Unto You.
Holy unto you. Holy unto you. Hear this humble prayer and make me holy unto you. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. This humble prayer, make me kadosh, kadosh lecha. Lord, I come to you with a humble heart, seeking more of you, wanting less of me, wanting more of you. From my deepest parts, God of mercy, comes an urgent prayer that my heart's desire is to you draw near. Holy unto you. Holy unto you. Hear this humble prayer and make me unto you. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha. Yager Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha. Yes, Adonai, Panav Alecha, V'yasem Lecha, Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.